Well, since I did it on Mother's Day, I thought I'd go ahead and do it again for Father's Day. Here are some Father's Day comics or cartoons that I've come across. Do you guys want to get Dad a tie for Father's Day? Nah, too boring. And it'll take all of our allowance. How about you make a slideshow or write a letter? It's personal and will only cost you time. Actually, this tie is really nice. And look, it's on sale. Dads and daughters. So, like, this thing needs gas in it all the time? For Father's Day, I'm giving you the greatest gift a son can give to his dad. I'm finally going to friend you on Facebook. Okay, how most dads want to be perceived. I'm off to fight injustice, teach youngsters valuable life lessons, and put up a nifty shelving system in the extra bedroom. But here's how most dads are perceived. I'm off to buy a pair of dad jeans that have a super relaxed fit, ensuring a more comfortable TV watching experience. I told you we should have spell checked it before placing the order. The shirt says, "World's greatest dud." And he's talking to his daughter. A body goes through changes during the teen years. When you started dating, my hair turned gray. When you started driving, I got heart palpitations. Are you saying my kid's a liar? They both have a cup that says world's greatest dad. So here's the day after Father's Day. The guys at work, they've got their Father's Day ties. Dad's rock, I heart dad, number one dad, kiss me, I'm a dad. All right, so he's got all the neighbor kids. See the endangered species, a live-in biological father. Don't get too close. He hasn't had his coffee yet. Question, what is the most powerful wireless interactive device for learning and gaming available? The iDad. So here's fatherhood day one. He's already getting his kids started with football. This is me when I was a new dad. I didn't get the extra absorbent diapers because I was afraid they'd suck all the moisture from her body and turn her into a tiny pile of dust. All right, so he opens up his present. It's a t-shirt with says worlds, and there's a blank dad. We'll fill in the blank after we hear what you have in mind for our summer vacation. Come on, Dad, let me borrow it. I'll be careful. I won't scratch it. What harm can come to a credit card? Just remember, son, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, unless you want Daddy's love. Dear Dad, I hope you have a nice Father's Day. You are smart and funny, and Mom is too. Have a really great and special day today. P.S. Thank you for sending me to college. This is why there are moms. See, he's making faces at his newborn through the glass. All right, well, happy Father's Day. Father's Day, of course, is a day to remember and to honor and celebrate fatherhood. You know, it's held on the third Sunday in June in the United States and in a few other countries, although there are some that do have it on a different day, like in September for Australia. But let me just give you a quick history of Father's Day. Supposedly, it was Sonora Dodd of Washington who first had the idea of a Father's Day. She thought of the idea while listening to a Mother's Day sermon in 1909. Well, in 1924, President Calvin Coolidge at least supported the idea of a national Father's Day and recommended that it be observed. Well, in 1957, Maine Senator Margaret Chase Smith wrote a proposal accusing Congress of ignoring fathers for 40 years while honoring mothers. 1966, President Lyndon B. Johnson issued the first presidential proclamation honoring fathers, designating the third Sunday in June as Father's Day. And 6 years later, the day was made into a permanent national holiday when President Richard Nixon, he signed it into law in 1972. Well, the interesting thing about all of that is that Mother's Day was signed into law in 1914. See, I see how it is. Well, I think this is a good holiday, partly for the fact that I happen to be a father, but we are certainly told to honor our fathers in the Bible. The fifth of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Proverbs 6:20, my son, observe the commandments of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Proverbs 30:11, it says, a very negative tone, there is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. And it later talks about the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother in verse 17. Well, Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Not for they are always right, but for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And of course, we can find others. Fathers are really quite important. Back in the 1600s, George Herbert put it like this, one father is more than 100 schoolmasters. More, meaning more important, and schoolmaster speaking of a male teacher or a male principal. And that may actually be the case. So the National Fatherhood Initiative website said, children who live absent their biological fathers are, on average, at least 2 to 3 times more likely to be poor, to use drugs, to experience educational, health, emotional, and behavioral problems, to be victims of child abuse, and to engage in criminal behavior than their peers who live with their married, biological, or adoptive parents. And you can find many, many statistics from big studies showing the father factor in poverty, the father factor in health, the father factor in crime and joining a gang, the father factor in teen pregnancy, the father factor in drug abuse, the father factor in teen suicide, the father factor in dropping out of high school, and so forth. You see, an involved father at home is extremely important. And that is why God set up the family to have a mother and a father, which is sad considering that over 24 million children in this country live apart from their biological fathers. Not everyone gets to have a father at home. And not all those who do get to have a good father at home, you know, one who is involved, responsible, and committed. But we all get the opportunity to have a father who is in heaven, who loves us, who gives us advice on life, who listens to us, and so forth. And we all have free choice, which means for us men, we can be a very different father from the one that we had. Kirk Martin, on the Celebrate Calm Facebook page, he had a short article called Be the Dad You Never Had. I'd like to read it to you. My father had 4 sons and used the my way or the highway fear and intimidation approach with us because that's what he learned from his father and grandfather. He often got outward obedience from his 4 boys, but he never built a trusting relationship with us. And I know he had to regret that on his deathbed. I sent a message to my 3 brothers this morning because I am proud of them. We all broke that destructive generational pattern from my dad. My brothers are good men and fathers. We all became the dad we never had. And that's more meaningful than all of our career successes combined. It's a gift to future generations of children and grandchildren. So I salute all the men out there who have worked hard to change themselves, to lead calmly, to be engaged with their kids, especially those who didn't have a positive role model. You have broken chains and patterns. You have created a new family tree that will bear good fruit for generations to come. I salute you, I respect you. I say to you, job well done, sir. Job well done. Well, what I want to do now is follow the example of some other preachers and use the illustration of a toolbox. Okay, this is just my take on it. I suspect most fathers have a toolbox, and some of them use it more than others. But here are a few things that I think ought to be found, okay, metaphorically in a father's toolbox. First, the instruction manual for whatever he's working on. Now, I am not one of those handy guys who grew up fixing things and working on things and building things, and so I have always got to stick to the instruction manual. If I don't have it, I am going to be going on YouTube looking for videos, or I'm going to be calling up some of the guys in the congregation asking for advice. The instruction manual, it makes life so much easier. It makes life a lot simpler. Well, a father has got access to the greatest instruction manual of all, the Bible. And some people like to turn it into an acrostic, B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. You know, 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. See, fathers ought to be consulting God's instruction manual. Well, some people wish that their fathers had taught them how to fix more things. And so after a father learns it, he should be teaching it to his children, as the Israelites were told in Deuteronomy 6. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Well, next, a father needs a measuring tape. I've discovered that just about every time I try to eyeball it, okay, I mess up. I get it wrong and I mess it up. And some dads have the motto, measure twice, cut once. Well, fathers are to measure what is right and wrong by God's standards. Now, keep in mind with each of these, there are many other passages we could go to. Psalm 119, 133, direct my footsteps according to your word, let no sin rule over me. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In other words, don't try to eyeball it. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. Fathers should be using God's measuring tape. And then a father ought to have some knee pads. Well, the older I get, the more I realize these are actually important. And of course, you can go online and find lots of articles that they talk about, you know, the importance of using them. Well, the knee pad, okay, the knee pads, they represent prayer, which should be something that every father practices. We can look at the example of Jesus and how much he prayed. We can find passages like Luke 18:1. Now, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. And Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Well, besides our relationship with God, prayer can change things. Now, God doesn't always say yes to our prayers, but I believe that there are so many things that God will not give us until we ask him. James said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. James 1:5. Now, that's something fathers ought to be praying for. And we find chapter 4, verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask. And the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Chapter 5, verse 16. Fathers should frequently then be going on their knees in prayer for their families. Next, every father needs an extension cord. See, some power tools, okay, they're battery powered, but many of them have got to be plugged in, and no matter where he goes, a father needs to always stay plugged in to the power of God. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. 1 Peter 1:5, it talks about faithful Christians who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. And so make sure that you are plugged into God through His Word, worship, prayer, Christian fellowship, stuff like that. I mean, it's no good to own a power tool if you can't or you don't plug it in. And then, well, a father should have a level in his toolbox. Well, a level, of course, is designed to indicate if a surface is truly horizontal or vertical. And you can also use it as a straight edge if you need to. And so this represents a father being truthful. Ephesians 4:25, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. Colossians 3:9, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Revelation 22:15, outside are the dogs. Now, that's a term the Jews would sometimes use for pagans or the ungodly. And the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. A father needs to make sure that he's being truthful. And among other things, his children definitely need to see this example in their father. See, I'm dealing with someone right now. You can't believe a word that comes out of his mouth. I feel really sorry for his family. Next, a father needs a light of some kind. See, there are flashlights and there are headlamps and extension cord drop lights and portable shop lights and others. Well, this represents our Christian light that we are to let shine. Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Have you ever been driving at night and you see a city off in the distance? Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And Philippians 2. And do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. A father needs to be letting his Christian light shine before his family, as well as his community. Well, a father also needs a rubber mallet. These are designed for impacting an object without causing too much damage. And a father, okay, fathers must be able to do some persuading and adjusting from time to time without doing damage. And we may refer to this as tough love. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Proverbs 22:15. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. See, sometimes children need to be put back in line. And so a father needs to learn how to do it in a godly way. Next, a father should have some shop towels or some shop rags. From time to time, we make messes, you know, and we need to clean them up. And one thing is that a father needs to learn to say sorry and to admit, he needs to admit when he's made a mistake. And see, some dads, they have a problem with that. But we need to be admitting those things, admitting them to God and to others. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. Psalm 32 and verse 3. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. Proverbs 28:13. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, 8 and 9. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. James 5, 16. We also find Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. If we know that someone has something against us, we are to go and try to be reconciled to them. A father needs to be admitting his mistakes and doing what he can to clean up his messes. Well, a father should also have some cologne in his toolbox. And you may be thinking, what? That's so he can put some of it on before he heads into the house to be around his wife. It's important for a father to love his children's mother and to show them that example. Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself a church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands also ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. And so fathers should figuratively have some cologne in their toolbox, and maybe literally for some of them. Well, I'm going to go ahead and stop there. But there are other things that we could mention, like an adjustable wrench. Father needs to be adjustable, and sometimes, you know, he needs to turn things around. A putty knife to smooth things over. Glue, you know, like wood glue or construction adhesive to give some permanence with love, dedication, and commitment. And you can probably think of some others. You see, like every father, I have got my strengths and I've got my weaknesses. My children are probably sitting there and they're thinking, yep, he needs a new one of those in his toolbox. But these are some things that, as fathers, I think that we should strive to purchase and put in our toolboxes. And then, of course, make sure that we're putting them to good use. If you had a loving and an involved father, okay, you need to feel blessed. And you should thank him today. You should honor him and thank him if he's still alive. But if not, you still have the opportunity to have a perfect heavenly father. And if you are a father yourself, you've got the opportunity to be for your children a loving and involved father.